Ear Witness News. For your ears alone.
Good evening again from the award-winning Ear Witness News Desk.
Hello, how are you?
What is it that makes men kill, even men who are under the stress and sometimes strain of the wartime battlefield? Well, the answer may be shockingly obvious, but you won't be surprised. For the details is rich.
Thanks, Harry. They call it pot, grass, boo, and cannabis sepulveda. But whatever you call it, don't call it late for the war. It's there, Mr. and Mrs. Middle America.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you may remember just a few weeks ago when we took the entire Ear Witness News team on our first annual tour of Vietnam, bringing a full 60 minutes of our best news, weather, and sports to those information-starved boys. While we were there, Rich and I interviewed an actual soldier to find out the role marijuana allegedly played in the My Lai massacre, now alleged in its own time. At our award-winning Ear Witness News microphone now is a member of the Screaming Eagle Division who has smoked marijuana, Private Christian Flower. Private Flower, could you tell us about the widespread use of marijuana among American troops?
Yeah, sure. Well, let me put it like this. I mean, there's some of us that use it, and then there's some of us that don't use it at all.
In other words, use is widespread.
No, but...
Private Flower, what we're wondering is whether back in the States you might have been a member of some weird militant commune under the thrall of an hypnotic and sometimes bizarre leader who initiated you into dope smoking and killing.
No, that happened here.
Private Flower, what we want to find out is what effect this marijuana habit, fueled as it is by a very potent Asian variety distributed by the Viet Cong, what effect does it have on the fighting man?
Oh, I don't know, man. You'll have to ask him. I'm just a clerk typist.
Doesn't it make you want to kill?
Being a clerk typist? Nah, it's kind of a drag, really.
Does smoking marijuana in a combat situation make you want to kill?
Oh, no, man. It makes me want to type.
Just what are you trying to cover up?
Easy, right. Easy. We won't get anything out of him that way.
Damn right.
Remember the fly in the vinegar? Now, tell me, Private, you've got buddies, don't you?
Sure. As a matter of fact, there's this one guy. He's my pal. He's from, San Diego, Minnesota.
Sure you do. Well, tell me now. Do your buddies smoke marijuana?
Wait a minute. What sign are you, huh?
Well, that's a good question. Uh-huh. Don't blame me for asking. Here's my press pass, buddy.
No, man. I mean, under what star were you born under?
Oh, well, Chris, that's an interesting question, as a matter of fact, because my mother was in show business. Not many people know that. You might say I was born in a trunk. In fact,
Was an elephant?
Why, you worthless little...
Easy, Harry. Easy. Don't let the battlefield situation rattle you. Never mind, Private. Now, suppose you tell us exactly what effect marijuana would have on, say, a whole unit of men.
Oh, that would be one stone unit, man.
By that, you mean they would be sent off into a frenzy of murder and pillage?
No, they'd probably be giggling a lot, like I'm doing.
All right, Private Flower, let's get down to cases. As an admitted marijuana-smoking soldier, what do you think was responsible for the My Lai massacre? Rock and roll music?
Sex education?
Permissive pornography?
No. I think that the fact that the mess hall serves meat has made us cannibalistical towards our fellow human beings. You know, way too much yang in our diet, man. Not enough yin. It's got us, you know, yanging when we should have been yinning.
And so a combination of factors probably contributed to the unfortunate incident of the equally unfortunate My Lai. Among them, marijuana, rock and roll, sex, and bad meat.
There you have a first-hand look at the Noyan War. And Ear Witness News continues after this.
This is Scott Glenn Armstrong.
Imitation astronaut.
Reporting from the highly simulated shores of one of the Great Lakes. Well, a good lake, perhaps not a great one. We've sealed two entire lakes inside these plastic bags for a highly improbable demonstration. The lake on my left, the so-called Lake A, has been polluted by ordinary oil and oil byproducts, the kind you drink every day. The lake on my right, Lake L, has been polluted solely by new substandard oil with the exclusive anti-visibility additive F-Retina X. Now, let's see the difference.
3 years later.
Well, as you can see, Lake A has been reclassified as a septic tank. Not a great septic tank, but a good one. Lake L, on the other hand, still looks the same through its clear plastic container. Let's open that container, and I'll pour some of Lake L on Jane here, our demonstration seabird. Well, as you can see, this bird died without any sign of coating on its wings, a clear contribution by substandard research to the big job of environmental deception. So let's all do our part. If you're polluting a lake, remember substandard oil with F Retina X. There isn't a conservationist alive who can see it. Scott Glenn Armstrong,
Imitation Astronaut,
reporting.
Going to school these days is a risky business. What with the new math on the one hand and the killings at Kent and Jackson State Colleges on the other. Now, forgetting about that Jackson State thing, three separate investigative bodies, not to mention our own Ear Witness News team, have tried to place responsibility for the extracurricular tragedy that cost four Kent State students their hard-earned lives. Perhaps the most controversial conclusions were reached by the grand jury in Kent, Ohio, which found that rock and roll music, sex education, and permissive pornography...
Hey, oh, hold it, Harry. You're missing a page. Oh. I'll take it.
Well, of course,
that Kent grand jury declined to indict the National Guardsman who shot the students, instead indicting 25 students. What went on behind the 12 angry closed doors of that jury room, only the jurors themselves know, and, of course, Ear Witness News.
Page 12.
Look, I've got a ball game to go to. Let's get out of here. We all know the guardsmen are innocent. The students asked for it, that's that.
No, Mr. Starker, I think you're being a bit hasty. Huh? After all, the students were just young boys and girls.
How can you tell the difference with that long hair?
Well, it's not long enough to cover my eyes.
Oh, I give up. I'll never see that ball game. Biggest game of the year, and I gotta sit here arguing with some broad.
Ballhead, let me tell you something, Mr. Starker. I come to this country 30 years ago not to see ball games.
To see the ice capades?
No, to see justice. The very lives of men are involved here. Young men whose only crimes were to be young in a time of old.
Listen, Mr. Kraut, you talk about your justice. I fought against your mama land in World War II so that punks like me could live. Not so punks like those could reap the fruits of my punkhood. Where's your justice in that, huh?
Look, my son.
I'm not your son.
I'm not your mother. But I do know a thing or two about having babies.
Wait a minute. What does that have to do with anything?
Mr. Starker, they're only babies.
I say it's an open and shut case. The guardsman shot in self-defense, that's all. We've seen it 1,000 times on GE Theater.
Look, I've got it. Let's not be naive. Yeah.
Huh? Gentlemen and lady, if we cannot exercise our precious freedom of speech with responsibility... I fear we shall lose it.
And that freedom of speech and 25 cents won't get me to the ballgame, Buster.
Ah, look, don't tell me about those kids. I've got a son.
So do I. And that's what I'm talking about. They could have shot our sons.
Father. Oh, Father, you've changed so much since Germany.
Son, I thought you were dead.
No.
But we'll talk about that later. We've got indictments to issue.
Right. I don't like to generalize, but I'm afraid those guardsmen are murderers. I say let's indict them.
Let my people go.
Let me go. The students had it coming. Let's not make a federal case out of it.
Now, look, I've got an idea. We've got to indict somebody after all the state's money we've spent, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't want to indict the guardsmen, let's indict the students.
I hate to say it, but I think that's a good idea.
Thanks, Pop.
That's here, Pop.
But it isn't over my eyes.
Okay. Is that it? Indict the students. Yeah, I can remember that.
So we compromise in a great American tradition, yeah? That convinces me. Tomorrow I apply for citizenship.
Oh, Dad. You're crying.
Wouldn't you?
Ear Witness News continues after this.
Bernard, can we go out to dinner tonight?
Oh, Lord, Sybil, I'd just as soon fall straight into bed.
You're not tired again? What an old stick in the crud you are. This is supposed to be our golden years, Bernard, and here you are, all rusted up. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I don't know, Sybil. I just don't know. It seems like I just don't have the old poop anymore.
Bernard, why don't you just die?
Say, are people talking like that to you more and more these days? Are you run down, suffering from lead sufficiency anesthesia? Or as a doctor I know says, can't get the lead out? Are you looking enviously at those irritating young people just bouncing around? And don't you wish you had a tenth of their boundless energy? Well, you can't. Forget it. No way. That's merely a feeble fantasy of a senile mind. But say, here's bad news. Now there's a product made especially for you. It doesn't do anything. But it's made especially for you.
I'm talking about Damn It All, a miraculous pseudoscientific discovery specifically designed to milk millions of dollars from older persons trying to stave off the last vestiges of fogeyhood, that is to say, death. You see, Damn It All is 100% medically ineffective, as proved in government laboratories. It can do you no good. But we tend to believe, based on preliminary reports, that it may not do you any harm either. But don't take our word for it. Try a bottle of Damn It All yourself. You've got nothing to lose. You're old.
Meanwhile, later.
Bernard, can we go out to dinner tonight?
Oh, Lord, Sybil, I'd just as soon fall straight into bed and drink a couple of bottles of Damn It All.
Oh, you've been drinking that stuff for 2 weeks. Hasn't it done you any good at all?
No, but it's company.
Damn It All. Not a tonic, not a cure-all, not a powder, not a flake. Simply a vile-tasting gelatinous liquid in a bottle you can suck on. Ask your druggist, he knows. Try Damn It All for 10 days and see if you won't feel stronger fast. You won't.
Turning from the human side of the news, President Nixon continues to claim that the recent elections represent a victory for his administration and the Republican Party.
Harry, it's interesting to note here that many Democrats are claiming it as a victory for their party, especially the ones who were victorious.
Well then, as Eyewitness News so often calls it, the truth must lie somewhere in between. If indeed the truth can lie at all, more about that at 11.
But behind the scene, highly original sources believe Mr. Nixon is worried about the election results and is contemplating changes as he looks ahead to 1972.
Start out each day believing that this day will be a new one. All right. Remember, the brightest morning can follow the darkest dawn. By letting negative thoughts flow out and positive thoughts take their place, one can harness the tremendous power which is within the grasp of all of us. Yes, 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 I'm beginning to feel the power.
John! John, can you feel it? Huh? Can you?
Feel what, Mr. President, sir?
The power of a positive president. The waves of yes magnetism beaming like a powerful radio wave from right here behind my eyes.
Behind your eyes. Well, that's fine, Mr.
Sure
President.
Sure you can feel it, huh?
Yeah, of course I feel it. Yeah, it's very nice.
Very good.
Now, sir, yes. I think what the election proved was that we didn't hit law and order hard enough.
Election?
Now, I'm not saying we were soft on it, no, but I've had my boys working on some proposals here that'd make a sailor blush.
Hold your horses, John. You know, before we can harness the brightest morning, we have to let the darkest dawn flow out unsaddled.
What, sir?
John, before you say another word to me, I want you to say something to yourself.
Oh, sir, I happen to be in a very bad mood today, and talking to myself can only make it worse.
John, there's no such thing as worse. There's only better.
All right, sir. It won't make me feel any better.
Now you're talking. Yeah. I want you to say to yourself, John Mitchell, today I'm gonna win.
All right, sir. Today I'm gonna win. Now, about
Wait a minute. Now, you didn't mean that.
I didn't.
You can fool a lot of the people, John. But you can't fool R.N., Richard Nixon. Just like you can't fool the people of America. You see, John, the election was a victory because the people knew that I knew. I felt it was going to be a thing that I believed it was. Now, I want you to say it again and feel it and believe it with every fiber of your unharnessed grasp. Come on, John. Take my hand say it. Today I'm going to win.
Very well, sir.
Take both hands, John. Billy does.
All right
now. Yes. There's the end zone.
End zone.
You've got the ball.
Alrighty.
Now, let's steal that base.
Okay.
Today. I'm gonna win.
I'm gonna win. Yes. Good, yeah.
Boy, that feels good, John.
Certainly does. Now, Mr. President, I'm very glad that we won today, but what grabs me, sir, is that we lost in November, and I'd like to
You're gonna
to
let
find...
go of my hand now, champ. Here, I'll clean that up.
Oh, thank you, sir. Now, look, sir. For all extreme purposes, we lost California, we lost Illinois, we lost Indiana. And we lost them. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the people felt we weren't hard enough on crime.
We didn't lose them, John.
No, we didn't. All right, sir. Now, take this no-trial bill. This can give us the kind of image that won't let hoodlums walk around the streets free like you and me.
John, we didn't lose them.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Winners never lose.
Ah. Well, we finished second, all right? And what we must...
Oh, now look, John. When members of my team begin to talk loser talk, they get sent down to the minors.
Oh, sir, there's no point in that. We never win West Virginia.
All right, John. You've done enough. You can go now. I've got important work to do.
All right, but Mr. President, what about these bills?
Well, I don't care. Pay them. Do I have to do everything around here? I'm just the president. Don't mind me.
No. I'll talk to you later, sir.
Yeah, well, don't do it on my account. Because I'm nobody. I'm just your president. That's all. I'm not a big important attorney general. No, sir. Hell, I'm not even a good attorney. I'm just Richard Nixon. Well, I won't have me to kick around anymore. Gee, I wish I had a taco. Huh.
Okay, Mr. President, bring out the champagne. It's Mr. Campaign.
Perfect day.
Hey, why the long face, old mopey eyes? The rat libs are on the run thanks to yours truly.
Sparrow.
Numero uno minus one.
Sparrow.
And counting.
Look, Sparrow, I'm in a very bad mood today.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk, let's talk seriously, huh?
Sure.
Now, we've been friends for a... Well, you've been my vice president for a while now. Now, tell me something. Am I a loser?
You're no more a loser than I am.
All right, well, I'll rephrase the question. Now, if you didn't know me, and you saw me in a group of people, the Republican National Convention. All right, now, I'm there.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Am I me who just doesn't know you, or am I somebody else who doesn't know you?
You're you. Uh-huh. Now, you see me, and all of a sudden...
Who are you?
Who are you? I'm me. I'm the president. Who else would I be? Now, I'm walking, striding to the rostrum, doing my best, you know, trying to lead. What more can I do? People are looking at me with hope in their eyes. Now, you see me. I don't see you. But there's a certain something about me.
Uh-huh.
Now, is it a winner something or a loser something? Huh? Well, what do you say? Well, come on.
What are you wearing?
What am I wearing? I'm wearing what I'm wearing now, what I always wear.
Oh, that.
What do you mean, all that? Spiro, do I have oomph?
Oh, huh? Look, come Mr. President, come on, snap out of it. Now, you know as well as I do that we won New York, we won Tennessee, we won Maryland.
We did.
I saved Reagan's neck.
I did.
Well, we did. Now, if that isn't winning, then I have no business being in politics.
Well, sir.
And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Let me explain something to you. The reason we won is because your vice president went on the offensive early and stayed offensive right up to voting day. So don't blame me.
But John said we lost California.
Well, John said, the way you talk about John, maybe he should be your vice president.
Huh?
Just kidding. Oh. Look, here's a schedule of what I want to do for victory during 72. Mm. But most of all, I want to be turned loose.
Uh-huh.
No holes barred. All the time. If some senator is a tubercular tumescence of tomatose halitosis, I want to be able to say so.
Well, you did pretty good just now.
Yeah, but who heard me? Just you, Mr. Nobody at the Republican convention, wearing the same dumb suit. Why, you don't even know me.
Sparrow, I think I want to be alone now.
You think? You are alone. I'm the only friend you got around here.
No.
You should hear what the cabinet says about you when you're not here.
The cabinet? Well, now, wait just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rogers, I know he likes me because when we were in New York, why, he got us freebies to Hello Dolly.
Ha!
Well... Damn it, I can find out what the cabinet's saying about me right now.
Okay.
Don't have to take it from a flunky. Mm-hmm. I'm a man of action, you know.
Yes, sir?
Madge.
Yes, Dick.
Madge, get me Walter Hickel immediately.
Well, what's that going to prove?
Yes, Dick.
And Madge?
Yes, sir?
Don't tell him it's the president calling.
Now, that's a good one.
Thank you. Who should I say is calling?
Who should I say is calling?
Oh, I tell him it's me, Mr. President. He'll talk to me, all right.
It's me calling, Madge.
No, tell him it's Sparrow.
No, right. It's Sparrow calling. Tell him that.
Oh, yes, Ted.
Good. He better not be out to lunch, is all I can say.
Hickel here. How are you, Sparrow?
Just a minute. It's working. He thinks I'm Sparrow.
Good.
Hello.
Hello, Walter. Hello. This is Sparrow. What do you think of that damn Nixon character anyway,
Mr. President, well, we've been trying to get you on the phone for weeks. Yes. What's the matter with that answering service of yours?
Well, speaking as the vice president, that Nixon guy gets my goat, too, you know.
That's cool. Hell. Illiterate. Oh. He'll think it's me. That's my trademark.
Oh, yeah. Walter, you've noticed I'm illiterate, of course.
No. What are you saying? It's illiterate.
Oh.
Illiterate.
Oh, well, Walter.
Mr. President, I told you we'd blow the election if we alienated
those Mr. President's
those
not here today.
This issue. Now, those kids, they just like to mess around.
No, I'm Sparrow, you
now,
see.
Now, if we want to survive in 72, we'd better loosen
He's
up
not
a
here,
little
right.
bit and...
What happened?
Well, I think he was honored.
Mr. President, let's put our cards on the table. We won this year because of one person who's standing in this room right now, and he's not you. I'll give you a hint. It's me.
Sparrow, I'm warning you. Now, there's going to be some changes around here.
Now you're talking. The new speechwriters can work in the larger office, and the bigger expense accounts you
start... Sparrow, get out of here!
Well, okay, I'll see you later, but you...
I don't know. Did we win? Did we lose? What the hell happened? Oh, God. Bring me together.
Hello, Dick. Welcome to your dream. I'll be your guide. This one's called the campaign, and it's a rough one. So better hold on. Here we go.
Law and order. Sparrow, here are your speeches. The gloves are on.
Now you're talking.
No. Now you're talking.
Oh.
And get Goodell. Good night.
No, my friends. The time has come to revile and roust the radical leeches and to throw out the rotten creature.
White House president speaking.
This is Senator George Murphy calling, and I'm asking for your help.
George, could you speak up just a little bit?
Mr. President, I think we better take some newspaper heads and call the Democrats anarchists or fat schmoes or something.
So what has become obvious to veterinarian Washington observers is that the vice president's speeches, which stink, represent a cheap appeal for Southern votes. That's the way it is.
The faggots of Fulbrightian fantasy must be flushed from their fins, or pansy permissiveness will putrefy this poor planet pretty soon.
Yeah, name it. Boy, there's a 2.5 on that guy. White House, Nixon speaking.
This is John. Moth has been telling me that you're not going to campaign.
John, be reasonable. It's the middle of football season.
It's the middle of a campaign, and we need
running.
You. You're our quarterback.
Sparrow can handle it, John.
What's that? Mitchell, Nixon, Hoover here. Couldn't help overhearing. Get in that campaign. I need more agents.
Well, sir, everybody needs more.
Nixon,
everybody needs...
Remember my files.
Yes, sir. I'll speak in Cleveland tomorrow.
Hey, see those demonstrators? They'll be on TV tonight. But I've got good news for you. They're not the majority of tomorrow's leaders today. And they're not the leaders of tomorrow's majority. They're bombs. My friends, you're witnessing what's worst about America.
Said he was going to Cuba in a handbasket. And well-informed White House sources say that the president, who stinks,
may be speaking for the administration
in pushing the law and order issue and ignoring the economic issue.
Hey, let's go. Oh, I love being the guy the moms love to hate. Do you know the way to...
Oh, let's get out of here, Mr. President. They're throwing eggs.
Let's go on for a minute. Maybe they'll throw a taco.
Whoops, please.
Holy, what street? Nixon almost killed in semi-automatic truck garage. Read all about her.
You know, my friends,
if you ended all the wars and all the racism, and if you ended all our poverty tomorrow, there'd still be bums who don't like Richard Nixon. So why end them?
I'm sorry, Mr. President. We of the networks feel that the tape of your Phoenix speech stinks. Besides, the audio's not clear. The viewers won't understand it.
Of course they'll understand it. The president makes things perfectly clear.
And now in grainy black and white, the President of the United States.
I'm urging public in black and white tonight because that's the way I see the prudent. You know, we're asking you to support the
Mr. President, due to circumstances within your control, the audio portion of your dream has been temporarily interrupted. Do not adjust your approach. It's too late.
And from the NBC News election desk, this slight projection. The overall race between the Republicans and the Democrats for control of the nation's fears, it's too close to call. Too close to call. Too close to call. Too close to call.
Law and order. Law and order. Law and order.
I must have been dreaming.
Well, I'm glad we won anyway. Okay, Mr. President, let's make some decisions. Madge.
Yes, Dick.
Call Spiro. Tell him no more of those speeches. I'll send him a news set later. Call Mitchell. Tell him the Bills are dead till 73. Call Hickel and fire him. Oh, and Madge.
Yes, Dick.
Why don't you buy a new dress? I'm getting tired of wearing the old one.
Yes, Dick.
Oh, where was I? Oh, yes. Start out each day believing that this day will be a new one. Remember, the brightest morning can follow the darkest dawn. By letting negative thoughts flow out and positive thoughts take their place. Positive, maybe I'll underline that. Yeah. One can harness the tremendous power which is within the grasp of all of us. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And now from award-winning Ear Witness News, the most reliably managed news source in the free world. Good night.
Stay tuned for the record label following immediately.